Chapter 14. All God's Creatures. Chapter 14 continues Peter and Thomas's introduction to Theo and to the strange realities of the island. The boys have accepted that Theo is a talking tortoise, but they are still trying to understand what kind of place they have entered and what they should make of the things Theo is telling them. As Theo casually refers to other talking animals and unusual creatures on the island, Peter and Thomas find themselves confronted with possibilities that stretch far beyond the boundaries of what they had previously believed could be true. This allegory does not suggest that tortoises normally talk, or that animals possess spiritual authority. It is a fictional narrative designed to communicate spiritual truth through imaginative characters and events. Scripture itself reminds us that God is not limited by ordinary means. When Balaam resisted the Lord, God opened the mouth of Balaam's own donkey and used it to rebuke him, Numbers 2002 28:30. The point was not that donkeys normally speak, but that God is fully able to accomplish his purposes in whatever way he chooses. In the same way, Theo's ability to speak is part of the story's imaginative setting. But the truth conveyed through his words is meant to direct the reader back to God. The island, its unusual creatures, and the conversations that take place there all serve a larger purpose. Peter and Thomas and the reader are being redirected to consider how easily human beings mistake limited perception for reality. God is not restricted by what we can see, understand, predict, or explain. He knows where his children are. He understands what they can and cannot yet see, and is fully able to use even the most unexpected means to reveal truth, provide direction, and accomplish his purposes in our life. Theo responds to the boys' confusion by reminding them that the scriptures are filled with examples of God using animals, weather, insects, fish, and other parts of creation to accomplish his purposes. He points to Balaam's donkey, the ravens that fed Elijah, the great fish and worm that were used to redirect Jonah's attention, the winds that carried locusts, and the fish that carried the temple tax coin. Theo's point is not merely that God occasionally does unusual things. He is showing the boys that all creation belongs to God and remains under his authority. God is free to use whatever he chooses in accomplishing his purposes. This truth is further illustrated when Theo explains how the animals first received their Bibles. A large sealed package washed ashore containing numerous Bibles packed around what appeared to be a carefully concealed bag of baker's flour. Peter and Thomas quickly recognized that the powder was almost certainly not flour at all. Whoever prepared the package appears to have intended to hide something illegal among the Bibles. Yet, what may have been prepared for sinful or selfish purposes became the means by which the animals received the scriptures and began learning about the Creator. The story does not call evil good, nor does it suggest that God approves of sinful intentions. The person who concealed the powder was responsible for what he intended to do, yet the package did not escape God's knowledge or authority. What someone may have intended for evil became, in God's providence, a means of bringing his word to a place where it would be received, treasured, and used for good. This reflects the larger biblical truth expressed by Joseph when he told his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Genesis 50-20. God is never the author of evil, but evil never places anything outside his ability to accomplish his good and eternal purposes. The conversation becomes especially revealing when Peter reacts strongly to the thought of snakes. Theo does not deny that some creatures can be dangerous or that evil exists in the world. Instead, he challenges Peter to consider that a creature's appearance, abilities, or the fear it produces in us does not place it outside of God's awareness or purpose. Theo insists that there is not a single thing God has made that falls outside of his larger plan. Not everything is good in itself, but God is able to use all things, anything he chooses, for his sovereign purpose. The chapter also includes a smaller but meaningful picture of provision. Peter and Thomas see the coconuts above them and recognize their need for water, but they have no practical way to reach or open them. Theo sees the same tree, yet he knows how to provide what they cannot obtain for themselves. Using the strength and experience available to him, he brings the coconuts down and makes their provision accessible. The point is not that force solves every problem, but that God often sees needs we recognize but cannot meet and provides for us through means, people, abilities, and circumstances we had not considered. Beneath the discussion about animals, snakes, Bibles, and coconuts lies a much deeper spiritual issue. Peter and Thomas are beginning to discover that the boundaries they have always assumed were fixed have actually been established by what they believe. They are not rejecting Theo's world, nor are they resisting it out of stubbornness. Their struggle arises because everything they are seeing lies outside the interpretive framework through which they have always understood reality. Before they can embrace a new perspective, they must first recognize that the limits they perceive may not exist in reality at all, but only within the beliefs through which they have been viewing it. This chapter presents many important themes and ideas, but at its center is the issue of belief. God is not limited by his own creation or by our understanding of what he is able to accomplish within it. However, what we are able to perceive, receive, and experience from him is often limited by what we have become persuaded to believe. This principle is illustrated clearly in the Gospels. When Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth, the people who had known him since childhood could only see the carpenter's son. Their settled conclusions about who he was prevented them from recognizing who stood before them. The limitation was not in Christ's power or ability, but was a result of their unbelief. As the scriptures record, he could do no miracle there because of their unbelief. Their beliefs did not limit God, they limited what they were able to receive from him. As long as those beliefs remained unchanged, they continued to shape what the people perceived to be true. This chapter continues developing the central principle of the story. We do not merely observe reality, we interpret it through what we already believe. Our beliefs shape what we notice, what we dismiss, what we consider possible, and what we refuse to examine. When our assumptions are too small, they can keep us from recognizing truths that stand directly in front of us. Surface Reflections. What part of the story captured your attention or interested you the most? What concept, question, or insight stood out most to you in this chapter? Which character's perspective or response did you find most relatable? What concept or insight seemed the most challenging for you? Plunging deeper. Number 1. Can you identify an area where you have quietly assumed that God would not work in a particular way simply because it fell outside what you believed was possible? What belief established that boundary? What finally changed your perspective? Number 2. Theo repeatedly presented Peter with ideas that challenged what he believed was possible. Can you think of a time when you initially rejected a perspective, truth, or possibility because it did not fit within what you already believed? What made it difficult to honestly consider it? In what ways did your perspective change as a result? Number 3. Like the Bibles and baker's flour that washed ashore together, can you think of a time when another person's harmful actions, an unexpected loss, or a difficult circumstance later became something God used for good in your life? How did that experience change the way you viewed God's work in your circumstances? How might that impact the way you interpret future difficulty? Number 4. Theo reminds the boys that God uses all of his creation to accomplish his purposes, even when his creatures have very different intentions. Can you identify a painful circumstance where you struggled to distinguish between another person's intentions and God's purposes? How did that struggle affect the way you viewed God's character? How might this relate to your own intentions? Number 5. When something unexpected, confusing, or even frightening enters your life, do you tend to assume it has fallen outside God's purpose, or do you believe he remains at work even when you cannot yet understand what he is doing? What does your answer reveal about what you presently believe? Island Insights. God is not limited by the boundaries of human expectation, experience, or imagination. All creation belongs to him, and nothing exists outside of his awareness, authority, or ultimate purpose. Yet people often reject what does not fit within the framework they already believe to be true. The difficulty is not always that truth is unavailable. Sometimes the difficulty is that our existing beliefs have made us unwilling to consider what is actually possible, We may possess enough information to question our conclusions, but still resist accepting our circumstances, because doing so would require us to admit that our perspective has been too small. A heavenly perspective begins when we become willing to acknowledge that God sees far more than we do and is able to do far more than we ask or think. It requires enough humility to recognize that our assumptions may be incomplete, enough courage to examine what we have believed, and willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to persuade our hearts concerning what is true.